that the obligations, debts, and liabilities of the joint action agency are solely those of the joint action agency, that it is a separate and distinct legal entity from the member utilities which form the agency. This is consistent with other limited liability entities that are created under Alaska law, from public entities such as port authorities to private entities such as corporations and limited liability companies. And this language is again designed to make it clear that the joint action agency is a separate and distinct legal entity, and that the member utilities that form the agency are, would not be passed through liability. For example, if there were a claim against the joint action agency, that claim could only be made against the joint action agency and not against Kodiak, Petersburg, Wrangell, or the other member utilities. Again, a claim against the joint action agency would simply be against the joint action agency and not the member utilities. And the language in Section 6 is designed to confirm that that is in fact the case. And again, this is consistent with language for port authorities and other public entities, such as, for example, the Alaska Railroad Corporation, which contains similar language, again, a separate legal entity. The last thing I would like to just mention is the scope of regulation by the RCA of the Joint Action Agency. Currently, under Alaska law, the power sales agreement, which is the agreement that's been in place for approximately 15 years between the state and the member utilities, which defines the rights of the member utilities and the prices at which power will be sold from the Four Dam Pool project to the member utilities, that agreement is exempt from review and approval by the RCA. Pursuant to House Bill 446, which was adopted last year, the exemption of the power sales agreement from RCA review and regulation was extended to cover the assignment of the power sales agreement to the joint action agency upon the closing of the sale of the project to by the state to the joint action agency. That exemption, though, continues only for so long as the joint action agency is indebted to the state for the debt it's incurred to purchase the project from the state. So again, the power sales agreement is exempt from RCA regulation, but only for so long as the JAA, the Joint Action Agency, is indebted to the state for the purchase price of the project. As we went through the statute, Title 42, and worked with the representatives of the RCA, we determined we really had an inconsistency in terms of the scope of regulation and the status of the, while the status of the power sales agreement was clear under the statute, it wasn't clear sort of where the joint action agency fit in the regulatory scheme. So what House Bill 119 does is it creates consistency in the scope of the RCA's regulation. And by that I mean the provision in House Bill 119 now provides that the joint action agency is exempt from all RCA regulation with respect to the joint action agency's ownership and operation of the Four Dam Pool project until such time as all indebtedness of the joint action agency to the state with respect to the acquisition of the project is paid in full. At that time, the joint action agency would be subject to regulation by the RCA. So again, we created consistency in the treatment of the RCA, the regulatory status of the joint action agency to the RCA. That is an overview of the provisions of House Bill 119. There's a lot of detail, and those are fairly technical in nature, but again, these are essential corrections and additions to the enabling legislation that was enacted last year. While they are, in some respects, technical in nature, they are at the same time essential to the member utilities in their ability to proceed with divestiture, the closing of the sale of the project by the state to the Four Dam Pool Power Agency, the joint action agency which has been formed, and the proceeds, of course, from the sale of those projects to fund the PCE endowment. I would certainly welcome any questions that you have with respect to House Bill 119 and its objectives.
Mr. Schrader, have you seen the amendments suggested by Assistant Attorney General Bjorkquist, and are you in concurrence with those?
I have seen those, Mr. Chairman, and we believe those are appropriate.
And let's see, just to, in a nutshell here, the provisions of this bill are, number one, to make sure that the potential liabilities are limited to the assets, and this is very similar to even a limited liability corporation or any other form of organization like that. Is that true?
That's correct. It's treated as a separate and distinct legal entity with both the power to sue and be sued. But again, any claim against the entity would be limited to the assets of the entity. Same for an LLC, a corporation, a port authority, or another entity authorized to be created under Alaska law.
So this bill speaks to the liability of the agency, its tax-exempt bonding authorities, which we've discussed before, a clarification of exemptions of the RCA regulation, which is consistent with an election for economic non-regulation or economic regulation by utilities. So the foundation of this thing is you're granting expanded powers of eminent domain in order to clarify the safe harbor rules under federal tax status, and that's really the primary thrust of the bill. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. All of those factors, Mr. Chairman.
In a nutshell, therefore. Yeah. Okay, any questions of Mr. Schrader? Seeing none, I'd like to thank you very much, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, while we're on a phone conference call, the question I had asked about IDB bonds, and if the there's nothing in this legislation that allow the JJA to expand the scope or have any influence on the allocation for IDB bonds in the state of Alaska, they'd have to compete with everybody else. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Which was a concern I had. Any further? Seeing no further questions, Mr. Schrader. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
With that, I take a brief at ease here. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 119? Representative Wilson, any further comments on the bill? I'm going to tell everybody why this is important to the people of Southeast Alaska.
We already know.
Okay, very good. With that, we'll close public testimony on House Bill 119. What's the wish of the committee? Oh, we have these amendments here before us. Representative Meyer.
I'd like to move the attached amendments. There's five total.
Well, this page before us, we'll call it all amendment number one.
Okay.
We have before us amendment number one. Did you move amendment one, number one?
Yes, I move amendment number one.
Are there any objections to amendment number one? Does everybody have that? Seeing none, so adopted. Any further discussion on House Bill 119? Seeing none, what's the will of the committee? Representative Meyer.
Mayor Meyer.
Hey.
You get me back in local government yet, don't you?
It's Freudian slip.
So that's okay. Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute House Bill 119 with attached physical notes as amended.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. With that, we'll adjourn the meeting when we sign the book.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have my letter?
And Mayor pays for it.
The one right. Sitting on my desk for a month?
Yes, everyone has the letter.
Oh, they do? Where is it?
Oh, everyone but you has the letter. You've already seen it.
Let's adjourn the meeting, of course.